Welcome, everybody, and I hope you all had very merry Christmases. This is Joe and Don.
Hi.
Greetings from planet Earth.
Oh, yeah, you just got new glasses, didn't you?
These are blue light blocking glasses.
Yeah.
Supposed to help with my eye strain when I stare at the computer screen for long periods of time.
I've had those for a while. I guess I'm not exactly sure if they help, but I don't know.
Your prescription glasses are blue light blocking?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, nice.
I think for the last, I don't know, year and a half or so, I've had them.
What company did you get them through? Or?
Oh, I have no idea. I just, my eyeglass people, they order my glasses for me. So I don't know.
This is my Christmas present from Gina. I wanted these. They're from
Can
a company.
You activate them? Do you press on the side and it activates? Or?
Well, I think you got to be careful because if I press it too hard, then it shoots a laser beam out.
Yeah. Exactly. That's definitely not what you want when you're looking at.
No, it's and then like this kind of like the double tap and it turns into sunglasses and you press. Yeah, they're pretty neat. That aside, what did you get for Christmas? What was your favorite gift? Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, so I had McKaylin's family, my wife, for those of you who don't know who McKaylin is. They were here for the last 2 days, and I was surprised with a dartboard this year.
So oh, whose face was on it?
Wait, what?
Whose face is on the dartboard?
Oh, no. Chips is.
Chips, your dog. Okay.
Yeah, Chips. No, I was so surprised. I really like darts. But, yeah, so McKaylin's brother gave me it for Christmas.
That's awesome.
So we set it up and we played darts a lot yesterday.
That's fun. Well, guys, some of you guys I'm sure had an extra Merry Christmas based on how your fantasy teams went, and others of us, well, we got some lumps of coal, which happens every year. Just we won't dwell on that too much, but
happens.
We'll just put it this way, that where we sit right now, Brian and Kyle Bash, congratulations.
Yay.
You guys are playing off the championship. Nick is not going to repeat, so we'll still not have a repeat champion, and he'll be playing me in the third place matchup. Who are you in Purgatory with? Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I call it Fantasy Purgatory. You guys just sit there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I appreciate how we'll talk about this, but I appreciate how we changed it where it's actually like both weeks matter. I think before it was just the second week mattered and the first week was like dumb, but anyway.
We've
had to make some tweaks to our playoffs, but I don't know, maybe you want to make some more tweaks.
I just want to tweak it every year so that I win. So whatever.
Every year you go back and look and you say, how could it have been better for me? And then you tweak it that way. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly. That's very forward thinking. Sure. Well, so that's the lay of the land. But Joe, any reactions before we spend just a tiny bit of time talking about the final week here? Any reactions to how we got here?
Well, emotions, both of our dark horse, if you will, team, Tim, went out in the first round, so that was a little disappointing. I just thought he had, and then wasn't that close? I mean, yeah, and the first week he had a good week. Nick just had a better week, but I mean, now this next week he was the highest scorer of the week. So I don't know. I thought it was a good pick by you. It was a good, but unfortunately he went out. And then those bye teams, it's very important to get those byes. So
those byes, they matter. Byes and tries.
Byes and wait, what?
Byes and tries, you know, like biceps and triceps, right? They matter.
Oh, I thought you were going a different direction. Okay. Okay. Nope. All right. Anyway, that's kind of my initial reaction. Yeah, it's definitely shaking up different than what I thought. I guess Kyle B, I predicted him to be in the final. So,
It's a. I mean, I'm obviously disappointed. I'm not devastated. I was a little bit. You know what it is? I lost. So I lost to Brian. I don't think my team obviously is better. that I think Brian would even say that. I mean, he freaking lost Taylor, hitting his backup to Jonathan Taylor that he put in, scored 2.4 points. So you're like, how in the world is it possible? And he's playing Darius Slayton. How is it possible? Well, things happened. They sure did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's like, I'm not really super upset, but it's like the biggest like eye roll result that I think I've had in like fantasy playoffs where I'm just like,
of course, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the only thing that like would have made me feel like completely not bad is if like you do the whole thing, well, even if I played my ideal lineup, I still would have lost. But in this case, it's like I made bad choices, start sit in hindsight. And if my ideal lineup would have been played, I would have won. So it's like, it's really on me. Yeah, it's on me. And that hurts because sometimes it's always like, I want to like tell myself, it didn't matter. I could have played anybody. And it's just one of those weeks. But no, I legitimately made two bad start sit decisions. And if I would have changed one of those,
I would have won.
Very sad.
Here's the thing. To give you credit, you did not know that Baker Mayfield was like MVP, like, or Cam rather. Like, we really didn't know that was.
That is true. I was faced with playing the Dallas defense against Philadelphia. And when that match was over, it was like Philadelphia had scored 34 points. And I'm like, whew, thank goodness, like, I didn't play them. Right. And I'm like, and I've got the Denver defense, who is, I mean, they're good at defense, they've been good all year long. Against Baker Mayfield and the Rams, who they've barely scored more than 15, 14 points a game since he's been there. 51 points.
Yeah.
They scored 51 points. That was really good. I forgot how good they were.
You missed some of those deep stats that really pointed laser. should we go over kind of the remaining?
Let me start at the bottom where it gets kind of confusing. So just a reminder of how the consolation bracket works. It's round robin. All the teams play each other once. And so everyone's done that thus far. Andy's 2-0. Kyle Schroeder and Evan, they're 1-1. Jordan's 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
The final, I think, the last matchup is Andy versus Evan, and Jordan plays Kyle Schroeder.
Mm-hmm.
The versus record. So if we have, you know, if you get 3-0, you're the only 3-0 person, you know, you get the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
If there's ties in record, the first tiebreaker is head to head. The second tiebreaker is points. And you're like, well, why do you have both of those? Well, because there's two scenarios that can really play out where those come into effect. The first is if we end up with two 2-1 teams. Or yeah, two 2-1 teams.
Yeah.
In those cases, it doesn't matter how many points you guys scored in those 3 weeks. It's just who won the head to head in the 2-1 matchups and who won the head to head in the 1-2s, and lineup is set.
Uh-huh.
It gets more complicated when you have 3 2-1 teams, or 3 1-2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we go straight to total points, because if you think about it, they're all going to be 1-1 head to head if you play it out. So that's out. And so then it goes to total points. We got all sorts of scenarios that could still play out here. The easiest Andy, you win, you 3-0, you get the first pick.
Got it. Yeah.
Jordan, you lose, you're 0-2 right now, you get the fourth pick. In both those scenarios, if those happen, we're sitting in that 2-1. Like, if Jordan goes 0-3, then I think we've got – do we have 3-1-1s?
We'll have –
oh, no. We could. That would be the easiest, because then we have a 3-0, a 2-1, a 1-2, and an 0-3.
Yeah.
That'd be that. Otherwise, things get all confusing. Go pull out your calculators, do your math and whatnot, but there's a lot that depends on how the other matchup goes, so there's still a lot at play here.
Right. Yep. And I guess what Evan is looking for is, I mean, he's what, 35-ish points, I think we determined, behind Andy. So really, he wants to beat Andy by 35 points.
Yep.
And he would guarantee his first pick. Isn't that right? Like, no matter what.
The only way that he would is
the most.
Yeah, Kyle Schroeder could also technically in that scenario also be 2-1, but he would need to score a lot of points.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the way kind of what's something that Evan's kind of looking for this week.
Andy, I mean, he wins and he gets the first pick, or if he loses by less than
35,
then he's most likely still in pole position, to get the first pick. Now, Kyle Schroeder, you're still there. You're a dark horse. I didn't calculate how many points you would need, but you definitely need to win and then get a lot of points. And then you still could get that number one seed as long as Andy also loses.
Yep. I know it's kind of confusing, but it actually is. Okay, but here's the thing. We went over maybe the last podcast, maybe a few podcasts ago. Having those top picks actually is more valuable. So you do want to try to win in the consolation bracket still. All right.
You take the next ones. That was a lot of words.
Next ones. This one's pretty easy. It's like what you said. What'd you say? Purgatory?
Purgatory. Yeah.
The fifth and sixth place matchup, me and Tim. It is the total amount of points between the 2 weeks. And so this past week I got stomped. It's like, 148 to 109 or something like that. I'm not sure what it was. 149 to 109. Anyway, so if I beat Tim by over 40 this week, I think that I can get the fifth pick overall. But I'm not liking my chances. Jalen Hurts, I can't imagine he's going to be playing. And, my team's kind of limping a little bit. I still think it's a good lineup. Not great without Jalen Hurts, but anyway, the fifth and sixth, it's fine. I mean, I still think the fifth pick is more valuable, so I would like that, but it's whatever.
I wonder, part of it's like, I'm curious, because I've been in fantasy purgatory before too. I mean, there's an element of like, okay, I'm out. Like, I lost in the first round. I'm now in this fifth and sixth place thing. Like, do you want to even keep playing? Like, do you want to just be done and not worry about fantasy the next 2 weeks? It's kind of there because it's just, to have something even minuscule to play for. Or should there be something different, something more fun and engaging for those teams that are in fantasy purgatory to keep them motivated? Or
like
just
they bet on the consolation bracket or something like that after week one? No, I have no idea. I don't know. I think that it's fine. It's just the way that I don't even know how it would work if, let's say, so some playoff structures, they only have four who make the playoffs, right? Yeah. What even happens when six teams don't make the playoffs? Like, how do other leagues handle that? Like, because there would be a lot of people just kind of in purgatory, and I don't know.
We're looking at you, Evan, and Andy, and those who are in more leagues, structures. I would imagine there's a variety. Ours is like a pseudo, I guess it's dynasty in a sense, but not really. Yeah. Like, it's I guess you call it a keeper league. So, like, there's, if it's just a strictly like full redraft, no consequences, and there's no like loser penalty for like last place, then I'm sure just the four teams are the only ones that really pay attention at that point. You know, like, why bother? Like, I don't know. Like, if there's no incentive. I imagine there's a lot of leagues that are like that. We've tried over the years to keep people engaged.
And not only keep people engaged just for like, hey, I want to pay attention and just to keep you interested in the rest of the season, but it also does impact the rest of the league. And so if there's like an injury that goes down or a big player that goes down and there's a pop-up player on the waiver wire, we don't want the only people competing for those players is like only the top two or three, teams. We want like the consolation bracket.
Yeah.
Like, I want Evan to try to bid on that player right now to try to get the first pick. So that is the reason as well.
So on a scale of like 1 to 10, 1 being like, I'm just setting my lineup, I don't really care, to 10 being like, I am like still like engaged, I'm looking up resources, I'm trying to put the best lineup out there. Where are you at these last week?
I'm probably at like a 4 or 5. So I check my lineup and I check the waiver wire for any like, oh, injuries. But as far as like sweating over, do I play Christian Watson or Mike Evans?
That's much. All right. Well, if anyone has any ideas or anyone really cares, you know, who's been in that situation, you know, feel free to throw them out there. We can always vote on them, but real bummer to be there. It's also kind of a bummer in some ways to be in the consolation third, fourth place matchup. And that's where Nick and I sit. I care a little bit. I mean, it's nice to kind of win your money back. It's kind of just the end of the, if you win your money back, then it's like you made a profit if you got any weekly high scores. So it's like,
I mean, did you get, do you think? 4, 3?
High scores? I think I got one.
You only got one?
I think I got one. No, two. I think I got two. Kyle Bash was the highest. He was getting them like every other week at one point.
He's the most consistent. Yeah.
Well, most inconsistent almost, you'd think, because he, was like, he had like tons of, like his roster had a lot of upside and he'd have these massive weeks. And they, the way that just worked out is they all like hit together or not at all. But I mean, he had Kupp, Adams, Kelsey, I think Burrow's his quarterback. I mean, on any given week, those four could go off. That's and true. Sometimes they didn't. Yep.
So yeah, you and Nick are playing to, is it $50 still kind of to the third place prize?
Yep. $50.
Yep. So you're kind of, playing for that. I mean, I think that it's fairly obvious, at least to me, that your team on paper is better than Nick's. Well, it could be on paper. It could be on really any type of thing. But how are you feeling? And then I'm going to ask you the same question on a scale from 1 to 10. Are you pretty like, okay, I really want to win this week?
Well, I'll be honest. Last week I was a 10. Like I thought like it's been a couple of years since I've had like a real team where I'm like, I felt like a top one or two favorite going into the playoffs, and so I was, you know, I was pretty gung ho about it. I plummeted pretty quickly down to like a 2, and I'm building myself back up to a 5. I mean, I do care, but like I'm, just gonna set my lineup. And before games, just make sure if someone's not hurt, and that's it. I'm just like, I mean, it's nice. Like, it's a nice thing, but like, you know, it's kind of like, ugh, a little bit of nasty taste in your mouth right after.
Yeah, crushed. I understand that. So,
well, let's move on to the finals. Again, big congrats, Brian and Kyle Bash. You got there. You did everything you needed to do. Top 2 records in the league. You got the bye. You won your semifinal matchups. And now you have 1 week to win the trophy. And first place is 250, and second place is 125. So,
and as a reminder, Brian has never won the league.
So Brian,
his chance again. I think he got second place one time, but one other time. So he'll at least get another silver medal, maybe gold medal. So all right,
let's pull up his roster, and why don't we just go through it and see if we've got any strong opinions about roster moves, changes he should do, start sit decisions. And I think we'll start at the top with quarterback. So he has Kirk Cousins playing at Green Bay. He also has on his bench Lamar Jackson. He's been out for a couple weeks here. Rumors continue to be he might come back. Who's playing at home versus Pittsburgh? And why don't I just throw in, let's just sort the free agents.
Yeah.
And out then, look, so I'll just throw out a couple other free agents that might be of interest. There's Jared Goff is the highest projected on the waiver wire. He's playing Chicago at home. They are not a great defense. And there's Gardner Minshew playing New Orleans at home. And the third one would be Brock Purdy, who's playing at Las Vegas. Where do you, what's your advice for Brian when it comes to quarterback?
Well, I don't see how you play Lamar Jackson on his first week back, even if he does play. So I would lean more towards just keeping with Cousins. So it's a big game against Green Bay. I think he'll, that's the right move.
Oof. I hear you. I think there's some buzz about Green Bay though recently. There just seems to be gaining some momentum. They still could sneak into the playoffs. If they do that, they definitely need this game. Green Bay runs the ball a lot. They play a little slower. I'd give Jared Goff a hard look playing home versus Chicago. I'd advise Brian to look into that. Listen to something, read some things, check the weather reports, make sure, you know, I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Green Bay or in Detroit. On Sunday or Saturday when they play, but if there's high gusts of winds, is it Evan who wrote something like if they're over like 20 miles an hour, 15, 20 miles an hour?
I said something about that. So I listened to Fantasy Footballers, and they were saying something about between 15 and 20 miles per hour sustained winds, it makes some sort of impact, but over 20 mile per hour sustained winds makes a huge impact on the passing game. That's what they were saying.
Well, just be looking. There's have one little resource. Why don't you talk about running backs, and I'm going to look up one resource that I have on my phone about the weather right now.
Okay. Yep. So his running backs, I don't think that there's – at least the first two are like the starting running backs. There's not really a question. James Conner and Dalvin Cook, they're in your lineup. There's not really the only other healthy running back he has on his roster right now is Deion Jackson. So, and he's going to be a flex consideration, but James Conner, Dalvin Cook, you play him.
I agree. Let me circle real back. So Detroit plays in a dome. So don't worry about that one.
Right now,
weather for the Green Bay game is like fine. Low chance of precipitation. I think it's going to be in the mid-30s. Not a lot of wind, so probably not an issue.
I did just kind of look at the Fantasy Footballers website. They have kind of like schedule-adjusted versus against, and so I did the quarterbacks. In the past, I guess since week 9, the Vikings are 29th against the quarterback position, and the Chicago Bears are 28th. So they're both bad.
Both bad. Okay, well, maybe you just ride with because the last thing I'm just going to check, I know we're giving you guys a little bit more information than you probably need on this, but the over-under for the Bears-Lions game, points-wise, is 52, which is a 29 implied points for the Detroit Lions. That's pretty high. And it's only 48.5, which is still high. Total points for the Minnesota Green Bay, which is 24, about 26, 27. So, all right, I'll stop talking on that. They're both could be pretty decent starts.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins, man, winning a championship. That just doesn't feel right. Neither Jared Goff. So, it should happen. It should just happen.
Wide receivers.
Yeah, talk about those a little bit.
Yep. So it's Terry McLaurin. I think he's in no matter what. Is his other options? I mean, Brandon Ayuk, Darius Slayton, Cortland Sutton. I guess you can go down to DJ Chark. And what do you do there? Do you just maybe add in Cortland Sutton? Possibly. I'm looking at the waiver wire too, and I think both Kyle Bash and Brian are going to be interested in the waiver wire maybe this week. I don't know if they're.
But. There's no real exciting running backs. Who are the wide receivers that are sitting there at the top?
Brandon Cooks, Corey Davis, Chase Claypool. I don't know. Jacoby Myers had a very good day this past week. So I think Brandon Cooks is probably going to be the only one that's really going to catch their eye. Do you want to play him?
You know what could be interesting for Ryan? I mean, I don't know how he feels about second flex. I mean, there's nothing super strong there. I wonder if he's like kind of like going for it. I wonder if you look at KJ Osborne to stack.
Oh, for the stack, yeah.
He didn't have a great game last against the New York Giants. But prior to that, he did have a touchdown in each of the last two games. That one against Indianapolis, he was 10 for 157. So he's got the high upside. Might be a little interesting. Might be worth just picking him up and kind of mulling it over throughout the week. But, I mean, I wouldn't start Deion Jackson. I don't see how you can. So
no, I don't think
immediately
so.
Immediately, I would slot in Cortland Sutton and hope that the firing of Nathaniel Hackett in Denver provides some one-week spark to Denver's offense, and maybe that helps Sutton here. But I guess that'd be the one change. I'd leave everybody else.
Yeah, I think possibly just plugging in Cortland Sutton over Deion Jackson, and that seems like the way to go. At least, yeah, that's where I would say.
And then defense, do you – and this kind of applies – we'll talk about this with Kyle's as well. But so he's got the Bills here. Look at Kyle the second. But the waiver wire is chock full of
a couple of
pretty good options. The Giants are playing the Colts. Giants are home. The Colts are awful, potentially given up. That might be better than the Bills playing at Cincinnati. Jaguars also at Houston.
Jaguars might be an interesting play. I don't know. I might look at their direction. I would play Jaguars. Maybe even over the Bills. I know it sounds crazy, but I would definitely think about that.
Right now, I don't want to play anyone against Joe Burrow. And especially, you know, and Joe Burrow is, you know, Kyle's quarterback. So I wonder if I don't know how the game theory or like if it works there, but it's definitely a double negative. If Joe Burrow does really well, then you not only is that going to hurt you there, but it's also going to hurt your defense.
Right.
But it's not going to, even if Joe Burrow does bad, that doesn't necessarily mean that Cincinnati's not getting like touchdowns on the ground too. So your defense still could do poorly. I don't know. I don't know if I'd take that risk and play the, I don't know. I'd probably look at the waiver wire for either Giants, Falcons, Commanders,
yeah,
Jaguars.
My suggestion, Jaguars, Brian, but hopefully you're listening to this. Anyway, okay.
All right. That's our recap of Brian's team. A lot of kind of raw thoughts there. Kyle Bash, he's rolling with Burrow.
Yeah, that's
right. No questions there. Rolling with ETN. Fournette, I think he's rolling with Fournette.
Yep.
Adams.
Adams?
What?
Davante Adams?
He did only catch the ball twice last week. Maybe he's done.
He's done. Career over. Yeah, he's in.
Adams, Metcalf, Kelsey, they're all in the lineup. He's funny. So I'm skipping over Flex for a second, and he's got the Bengals defense.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got the Bengals defense, and he's got Vikings on the bench, and then Brian's got the Bills ones. I'm curious what they do. I wouldn't start either of those. I would just
– Yeah.
I'd go straight to the waiver wire. And definitely pick up another option if they to mull over, think about it again. But
ESPN doesn't even have the Bengals like ranked, which I think means they're outside of the top 20.
I don't blame them. Let me just check real fast what the over under for that game is. It's got to be
pretty high.
It's also a Monday night football game, and I love that Kyle's got Burrow.
Oh, so Monday night. Yeah,
how it all plays out. He might have to be sitting there, waiting for every passing play and see how it goes. Yeah. Maybe they should. Maybe there should be like a friendly agreement where they play the defenses against each other, so they can sweat out legitimately Monday every night. Scoring play as their scores are like going up and down against each other as people score. There's a sack. That would
be so funny. Is there any other Monday night? No, that's the only one. But
no, that's the only one. There we go. My phone was being really slow.
Well,
49.5.
We want to talk about this for Brian's team real fast. Dawson Knox or Darren Waller?
Monday night player.
Yeah, Dawson Knox, and he's been real good lately. He's three scores in the last three games. Darren Waller, he's been good since coming back. He's been okay.
So, Gosh. In some ways, you got to think that the touchdown upside is always there with Dawson Knox, right? Yep. And in Brian's case, I just feel like he needs to – I think you got to go with the highest upside. I don't know if Waller provides that right now. Like, the Vegas offense isn't clicking. How many touchdowns has Waller even had this year?
Well, he was out for a long time.
Yeah.
So he's only had 2 touchdowns in 7 games.
Just and seems like all the touchdowns are going to Adams and Jacobs.
Yeah. And Dawson Knox is getting more targets. I don't know if it's true, but like if Kyle Bass keeps with Cincinnati Bengals defense, I think you throw in Dawson Knox. Because I don't know. That's what I would do.
Okay. Well, then last thing we'll talk about here is Kyle Bash's flex. He's got Antonio Gibson, Juju Smith-Schuster in there at this moment. Other options would be Michael Carter. Great matchup against Seattle, but hasn't really gotten things going for quite a few weeks. Kareem Hunt also has kind of fallen off.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney, you're probably not going to start him over Juju, and you're probably not going to start both of them.
Yep.
Treylon Burks, great matchup against Dallas, but if it's Malik Willis playing at quarterback, you don't want to touch that.
Yeah, probably. And then
Donovan Peoples-Jones. Does he just leave it?
I don't see the upside in Antonio Gibson. But I don't know. So I was is Malik Willis, does he even throw the ball?
I think he threw it 9 times or got 9 completions last game. There was something like that. It wasn't much. Was not much.
I can't even look at what he was doing. But because I looked also at the Cowboys defense in the past, I think, 6 or 7 weeks, and they are the worst defense against wide receivers in the past. I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks, schedule adjusted. So that's pretty incredible. But if you're right, though, that Malik Willis is projected at 12.3 points. That's so funny.
I don't think you can do Burks. I don't see how you can do that.
He completed 14 out of 26 passes this past week. So, I mean, there's that. But, yeah, I would probably agree with you.
The one that I would do Juju.
Definitely Juju. Yeah.
The one that I would give a second look at is actually Donovan Peoples-Jones. If he's not feeling Gibson for whatever reason, throughout last game was that terrible weather game in Cleveland versus New Orleans. They barely threw the ball. Prior to that, I mean, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of his last 8 games, he scored double digits.
That's true.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Like, and then there was only 2 touchdowns in there. So, I mean, he was getting yards, had 2 touchdowns in those games, but like he could be a floor play.
Also think he's a higher upside play than Antonio Gibson. So I don't know. So I would lean more towards Donovan Peoples-Jones rather than Gibson for Kyle Bash.
Well, Kyle, it'll be very interesting to see what you end up going with. I do hope you guys play as many Monday night players now that I think about it and play your defenses, because I want to watch that game and sweat each play with you guys. And hopefully it's a photo finish.
Hopefully it's a good matchup. There's nothing worse than either like you both just have a terrible week or someone blows out another one. So hopefully both good matchup.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being with us. Thanks again for a great season and best of luck in the final week.
Maybe we'll do a keeper analysis or something. And I don't know, a month or just sometime.
We'll pop in now and again during the off season. But awesome. All right. Peace out, everyone.
See ya. Bye.
I never remember how to stop.